Blog Talk Radio. Eastern Standard Time, and that means it's time to express yourself. Your voice, your choice, with your host, Richard E. Ashby Jr. Listen in through littleflowerartist.com or marketingpulpit.com. It's time to express yourself. HALA is a North Carolina nonprofit organization that provides a variety of services, activities, and programs that aid in increasing children's test scores and also encourages the youth to make positive contributions to society. HALA was founded by Leon Gatewood. It has been the mission of Leon to ensure that HALA becomes a staple in the community by positively contributing to campaign for literacy in his community. HALA adopted the Little Flower Learning System as their program of choice for supporting community-wide literacy. For more information on HALA, visit www.hala.ws. That's www.holla.ws.
And I'm your host for this program we call Express Yourself, Your Voice, Your Choice. And my guest this morning is Mr. Gary Core, founder of Vaando, and also the president of our local NAACP right here down in Yadin, Pennsylvania. Good morning, good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. I know some of us are concerned about the recent elections, but brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you, you don't need to be concerned that we are all in this boat together and that we have to keep moving forward. Good morning. Can you hear me there? This is Richard E. Ashby Jr. for Express Yourself, Your Voice, Your Choice.
I think we're on.
This is it right here. We're on.
Hello? Are we on?
Yes.
Okay. My guest this morning is Brother Gary Core. And like I said, he's the founder of the he's the founder of Vaando, a local company. He's the editor of the Black Yellow Pages. He's the editor of a local newspaper called the Yadin Pulse. And he's the current president of the local NAACP. I'm not sure if we were on earlier when I said, I know some of us are concerned about our recent elections, but we can't let that bog us down. We can't let that stop us. We as a people have gone through so much more, and we've always come out on top. So First Lady said, when they go high, we go high. And for that reason, I have our Brother Core here, guest. And as you know, by listening to news, the NAACP has begun to speak out on some of these things that are happening in our community. So we're going to ask, we're going to introduce Brother Core, let him tell you a little bit about himself, and we're going to let him speak briefly on some of the thoughts of the NAACP, and then we're going to go right into his literary adventures that he's doing. Brother Core, welcome.
Thank you, Richard, for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here with you and your guests.
Yes,
as a guest.
So as the president of the local NAACP, and as a black man in America, and as a citizen and a voting American, just give us a quick overview of what is the NAACP's view or standing or strategy moving forward with some of the things that are happening in our country.
Well, I tell you, the minority community in this country right now are facing some very difficult times. You know, think about the person that was elected as the President of the United States, and you look at his views as it relates to race and culture and sex, in addition to the individuals that he has placed around him, should be cause for concern. However, we faced these challenges before. This is not the first time, we've been under assault by individuals in this country. As a matter of fact, I've always said, I try to be politically correct, but in these days, political correctness is kind of old and tired. You have to sort of cut to the chase. I think if we learned anything from Donald Trump, that's pretty much that's it, right?
Yeah.
And so I tell people all the time, when you look at black folk in America and the issues that have impacted us as it relates to things like police brutality and racism and Jim Crow, the one thing that you will know is that, from the moment we arrived here, black people have been brutalized, murdered with almost total impunity by non-blacks. And so in this day and age, it seems that the only way that we can get any measure of justice is to have a person being videotaped shooting an African-American in the back while they're running away. So we know that this country has not always been kind to us. But getting back to this election and what we plan to do, I think it should be a wake-up call that at this moment in time, we cannot sit around and wait for anyone else to do things for the African-American community. We have to look at ways to move our community to a place where we feel comfortable, where we can begin to create opportunities and wealth and protection for ourselves like we did previously.
Okay. So
before integration.
So now the question is,
yes.
Well, my statement is, I see you doing that through your work. I see you putting together a newspaper called the Yaden Post.
Right.
And I see your newspaper as being a liberal newspaper. I see it as being a liberal newspaper and giving it to us straight. I see you have written, published a book, The Yellow Black Pages,
right.
That this book has black-owned and operated businesses in it.
Right.
And so from my point of view, you have already, in your personal life,
mm-hmm.
carved out a strategy for moving forward.
Right.
So what made you, provoked you to take these steps?
Well,
because we already have a Yellow Pages.
Oh yeah, we've always had
a newspaper.
We've always had a newspaper. Here's the situation, Richard. In America, the black community is about a $1 trillion economy, and we hear numbers like that thrown around all the time. But what that means in dollars and cents is this: if you spent $1 million a day, every single day since the birth of Christ over 2016 years ago, you will not have spent $1 trillion. As a matter of fact, it would take you almost another 1,000 years before you did so. So for all you mathematicians out there, pull out that calculator to do the math. 1 million times 365 multiplied by 215, and you'll see that you would get nowhere close to $1 trillion. In this community locally where we live at,
uh-huh.
We are a $40 billion economy. And that means you could spend really $50,000 a day every single day since the birth of Christ and still not spend $40 billion and so reach $40 billion. And so this is why every other ethnicity sets up shop in our community. The opportunity to build wealth is astronomical. And so it's imperative that if we want to begin to address many of the woes in the African-American community or the black community, whichever your preference is, we have to be economically sound. And the only way that we can do that, right, is by keeping more money, more of our dollars in our community circulating amongst ourselves, improving our quality of life. In addition to that, Richard, I would like to say one other thing. In addition to that, if you look at businesses in America, if you look at every business in America, if you look at a white-owned business or Asian-owned business or a Hispanic-owned business, you'll find that 90% of the employees in that business look like them. So it stands to reason the more black-owned businesses that exist in a black community, the more jobs are created, and which creates opportunity for who? The people that live there. And it's at this, in this day and age, is about jobs and money. And so until we begin to understand that and begin to think and behave differently about who we spend our money with and where we spend it, I think we're going to be, it's going to be a problem for us to escape this economic situation that we've been dealing with for many years, really, again, since emancipation.
So what we're talking about is economic literacy.
Yeah, well, that's one of the things. That's definitely one of the things.
So we're talking about economic literacy in, within our community, because right now we're at a deficit.
Oh, there's been a deficit. I mean, less than on the eve of emancipation, I think in 1860, black businesses captured, I think, maybe less than one half of 1% of the gross domestic product in this country.
Uh-huh.
And you fast forward some 150, 167
years.
We're
not very much past that.
We haven't moved beyond that.
Right.
So a lot of us are under the illusion that we are really doing much better when in actuality we truly aren't. And if you look at the amount of money that recycles in our community, it recycles less than one. So if you look at other ethnic communities, other communities, their dollar recycles in their community as many as 15, 16 times. And if you really want to get down, you need to look at the Asian community, and you need to look at now the Jewish community. They their turn get it back.
Okay, so now, as president of the NCP,
yes,
and as a businessman,
yes,
what is your plan to close this, I'm going to call it a gap, this economic gap, but there's a gap in our thinking.
That's exactly right.
There's a gap in our thinking.
We need a checkup from the neck up.
Yes. Exactly. Because
right.
We tore up from the flow up. So there's an economic gap. This is what, the digital divide?
Yes, it
is. There's an economic
divide. Well, we had
divide.
A digital divide, but now that the digital divide has closed dramatically.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it closed dramatically. You know why?
What's that?
Because the digital divide is also an economical divide. Because if you don't have the money to close that digital divide, they're still going to exist. Because right now, they're saying that the digital divide is closed because we have these handheld devices.
Right. These mobile devices.
These mobile devices.
Right.
But the digital divide with the digital literacy
right.
is still there.
The digital right.
is still there.
Right.
So the divide is still there.
Well, all I can tell you, Richard, is that, you know, when I started, when I got the idea to figure out black businesses to black consumers,
uh-huh.
The one thing that I And so I had this, what I thought was a great idea, but, you know, wasn't online. You know, computers were extremely expensive back then,
mm-hmm.
and the few that were online were accessing the internet through their whatever. And so I needed a way to try to reach more black consumers and expose them to black business owners. And that's how we started the Black Yellow Pages,
uh-huh.
as a vehicle to bridge that gap. But now you fast forward some 10, 15 years, and the gap is really blurred. I mean, black folk are online in significantly higher numbers and continue to get online in significantly higher numbers than our counterparts. And so, but you're getting back to that educational thing. We, unfortunately, in the black community, we are consumers. And so a lot of times we don't see the opportunities that other folks see, or if we do see the opportunities that other folks see, we don't have the resources to benefit from it.
That's right.
And so what I try to do with Boando is I'm not just trying to advertise or promote black-owned businesses. I need people to understand that if you're a black business owner and you belong to an organization and you pay a couple dollars into that organization on a monthly basis, right, depending on the people that are engaged, you can do phenomenal things. And I know you're coming up on a break, so should I pause here for a second?
Yeah, you can take a break. But before you go, I want to say that I'm looking at your Black Yellow Pages, and you can answer this question afterwards.
Okay.
I look at the Yellow Pages, and it's a thick book. And we used to sit on the Yellow Pages when we were too small at the table. This book is wonderful. It's wonderfully produced. It's great graphics, but it's thin.
Yes.
it's indicative of the amount of businesses that are not black.
That's they're black and but you know what's funny, Richard? You'd be surprised at the number of black-owned businesses
that do everything
every day way to try to attract white dollars and won't support this because they're afraid somebody's going to know they're black and not do business with them. But when you look at their bottom line,
mm-hmm.
right, so, and ask them what percentage of customers are non-black, it's a very small percentage. So why are you wasting this time trying to go after a market that's not supporting you? Why are you shunning your own people? So, you know, we are psychologically damaged. We all know that. But,
yes.
You know, this is why, you know, I try to associate with like-minded individuals and try to get what I believe is that 20% of the population that understands the importance of recycling black dollars, keeping those dollars in our community, and then building on that.
All right. At that note, this is Richard E. Ashby, Jr., and my guest is Brother Gary Corr, the president of the NAACP in Yadin, PA, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after this message. Don't you dare go away.
What a great show. Are you enjoying yourself? Great. Don't move a muscle. We'll be right back in just a few. You are tuned in to Express Yourself with host Richard E. Ashby, Jr. on www.littleflowerartist.com and marketingpulpit.com. Marketing Pulpit International, also known as MPI, is committed to helping communities prosper by developing businesses, creating jobs, and building sustainable economic empowerment. MPI offers several radio shows throughout the week that touch on the issues that not only plague our communities, but also our country. For show schedules and more, visit www.marketingpulpit.com. That's www.marketingpulpit.com. We told you it wouldn't be long. We're back. Express Yourself, Your Voice, Your Choice, with Richard E. Ashby, Jr.
Place. We're here with Brother Gary Corr, president of the local NAACP, and we're talking about economic literacy. We're talking about just where we should be going as a people, considering who's going to be taking office, and it's just my point of view that it's not going to get bad. It's only going to get better because we're going to have to take ourselves and move forward. And like our brother said before, this is going to be nothing new to us. Adversity has been a part of our history in the United States since we came here.
From the moment we arrived.
Did I say that?
On the way.
Did I say when we came here?
On the way.
We didn't come here.
No.
We were dragged here.
Chicken and spirit.
Yeah, like we came here like we was going to McDonald's. No, we didn't. It's not like one of the McDonald's trip, I tell you that. So Brother Gary,
yes.
Now, with the NAACP,
yes.
What are some of the things that are coming up on your schedule that you'll be doing?
Well, you know, I think that the recent elections, as I said before, should be a wake-up call. So what we're trying to do now is make sure that we identify political candidates, make sure that we have opportunities to expose these individuals to the community, so that we are assured that people that are seeking office are doing it without interest in mind and not their own personal self.
Okay. On that note, here at the library, we are starting to develop with some of the local politicians and community members. We call it political literacy.
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're calling it. So we're trying to start to educate our children on why should they be voting, and how they should make up their mind as to who they want to vote for.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not trying to tell them who to vote for. We're trying to educate them on
right.
why vote.
Right. To be critical thinkers.
Be critical thinkers.
Right.
And to know the political system.
Right.
And to know what, to be able to read between the lines.
Right.
Okay. To be able to to have
say that again.
To read between the lines.
Okay.
Okay. Right. And that's very important because you see these commercials and you see and you hear these politicians talking, but if you can't read between the lines, or if you can't even read the lines, real quickly, I was in a place a couple of days ago, and a young man said, you know, I don't believe in Harriet Tubman. And I almost fell out my chair. I said, believe? I heard people say, I don't believe in Christmas. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't believe in Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe in the Tooth Fairy. But this young man said he didn't believe in Harriet
Tubman.
And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, Harriet Tubman is a myth that the black man made up so he could feel good about himself.
Mm. Where did he get that from?
I don't know. What is school? Because I asked him, was he in school? And he said, no, he had dropped out, that they couldn't teach him anything in school.
Okay.
And so I felt sorry for the brother.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He thinks that Harriet Tubman is a myth.
Mm-hmm.
But I guarantee you when if Mr. Trump get his ways,
he's going to be looking for Harriet
Tubman. He's going to be looking for Harriet Tubman. And we have to start this political science, this political literacy program we're starting now.
Mm-hmm.
Is all about teaching our children our history, because the more you know about your history, the more politically sound your thinking is going to be.
That's right. You don't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been.
If you don't know where you've been.
Exactly.
And so here in Yaden, which is a upper class, middle?
It's a middle class community. To give you some of the ethics on the population, right around 11 to 12 residents, we have a median income around here, right around $50,000. Our median home values are around $150,000. The mean price values, though, are substantially higher. It's about almost $340,000. What I like, what attracted me to Yaden is that it was the racial demographic. I mean, we're about 87% black, about 2% Hispanic, and just under 1% Asian. What's troubling about that is that, I think that our housing values are depressed, and as a result of that, I think that our community is really ripe for gentrification. I think that when you look at a property that sits in Yaden Borough that may be $150,000, if this was a predominantly white community, that same property would be $300,000. And all you have to do is go up the road a little bit and look at houses of similar size and structure and construction and see what they're selling for. I think that, you know, this is a phenomenal community. Yaden Borough, when you think about it, its location, it's X 30th Street Station. What else was it? The airport, as well as the highways,
right?
95, 76, we like within 10 minutes. You look at our access to education, Temple University, all of those. I mean, we are stone's throw away from these institutions. And then we're only 15, 20 minutes away from Center City, from the arts and education. So this is a prime location. So I would ask, if you are black and you are upwardly mobile, come and look at Yaden Borough. Invest in this community. You'll be very pleased with that investment. But for goodness sake, don't wait until everybody else comes, meaning folk that don't look like us, take over and then want to follow. We've followed long enough. We need to start leading now on some issues.
So you have the what is the educational level demographically in Yaden Borough?
Well, the high school graduation rate is about 92%. Around 30% of the residents hold bachelor's degrees, and about 11% are graduates or professionals.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
a pretty literate community.
Yeah, I think so. It's a pretty literate community.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so now back to your paper of the Pulse.
Yes.
The Pulse. Why did you name it the Pulse? Because, you know, we have the what is the other newspaper here in Yaden? The Yaden Times. This is a pretty good endeavor. You're stepping out, because
right,
we have the old time people here in Yaden,
right,
who are used to the Yaden Town. Now we got this young whippersnapper coming into town here. And he's putting out the Yaden Post.
Right.
What gives you the right?
Well, you know, I tell you, as a business owner, right? As a business owner, like most business owners, what we try to do is identify a problem and then try to create a solution for that problem. And it's, in the simplest form, that's what business folks should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've noticed is that there is a serious breakdown in communication between the residents of the borough, the business sector, and the political sector, the government. And so a lot of times now that we are so technologically advanced and a lot of people are now choosing to access information via the internet or social media, what you have to remember is that a significant percentage of residents in the borough still rely on old-fashioned newspapers or prefer other methods to communicate.
Uh-huh.
And so what I've tried to do with the Yayton Pulse, unlike what other folks have done with their paper, is I have designed a paper that specifically focuses on the borough. So, you know, as much as we're concerned about what happens in Lansdowne and Darby, you know, our focus is on how to improve the quality of life in Yayton Borough, how to improve communication, how to make sure that our residents are informed about what's happening and how they can and the actions that they can take to address situations in their own community. And what I've done with the Pulse is instead of putting out a paper where folks have to go to a location and purchase it, what we've done is we have what we call every door delivery mail. So it pulses mail to every business and household once a month. And then for those folks that still like to access information, they can continue to do so through mediums online or elsewhere. But I think the Pulse is going to be a great tool and a great communicator for the borough.
Well, that's very interesting because here at the library, I've had several senior citizens call up or even stop by and say, "Where's that newspaper that guy put out?
Where's that newspaper?
With a big article about the president of the council."
Uh-huh.
And so you're getting a lot of feedback from it. And one thing I do know is that when you talk about literacy and communication, there's nothing like the written word.
No, nothing at all.
There's nothing like the written word.
You know what, Richard, when it really gets down to it, right, there's, you know, I'm a technology junkie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you come to my office, man, I have some stuff, man, that just blow your mind. I mean, everywhere you look, there's something that, you know, state-of-the-art.
I have this $80 phone.
Stop, Richard. But at the end of the day,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing like picking up a book. Sitting in your hand.
You're talking to a librarian,
man.
That's it,
because if there's an emotional connection there.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get a book, man, that resonates, man. And I can right now, if you're out there, pick up the Dr. Claude Anderson's book. He has a number of them, but you know, he talks about Black economic empowerement, Black empowerment.
Say that name of the book again. Dr. Claude Anderson.
What's the title? Black Economic Empowerment.
Black Economic Empowerment.
But please don't quote me on that. Go online.
But he has several books.
He has several books
we would like to.
But what he's talking about is Black Economic Power. He's a plan for Black America to get on the economic playing field with everyone else.
Right. And you can also go way back and read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
You most certainly can.
You can read Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
A number of books out there. Yeah.
But the thing is, what we talk about is read.
That's the bottom line.
Read. Well, that's it for the show today, Brother Gary.
Richard, I want to thank you for inviting me, and thank you. I'd like to thank your listeners for taking the time out to check out the show. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact me at 610-226-9773. Again, that's 610-626-9773. Or visit us online at www.boando.com. That's BOANDO.com, an acronym for Black Owned and Operated. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Gary. This is Richard E. Ashby, Jr. for Express Yourself. Your voice, your choice. Have a blessed week and have a happy holiday.
Thank you for tuning in to Express Yourself, Your Voice, Your Choice, with host Richard E. Ashby, Jr. Make sure to tune in every third Thursday at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to www.littleflowerartist.com and marketingpulpit.com. Express Yourself, Your Voice, Your Choice. We'll see you again real soon.